It's here and now.
I am walking out in the rain, and I am listening to the low moan of the dial tone again, and I am getting nowhere with you, and I can't let it go, and I can't get through.
Ani DeFranco began singing and playing in local bars in Buffalo, New York, with her guitar teacher when she was 9. By 15, she was an emancipated minor, then became an emancipated artist, founding her own independent record company, Righteous Babe Records. By the 90s, her righteous anger and clear-eyed feminism attracted a fierce following of devoted fans who sang along to songs like Both Hands and 32 Flavors.
God help you if you are an ugly girl. Of course, too pretty is also your doom. Cause everyone harbors a secret hatred for the prettiest girl in the room. And God help you.
Sometimes the fan embrace was too tight. Some punished her for perceived missteps. In a reminder that parts of this conversation may not be for everyone, after Ani sang openly about women she loved, she married, as she put it, a person with a penis.
Please join me in welcoming Ani DeFranco and Robin Young.
Obviously, not all fans felt betrayed. Her book tour is sold out. The Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline, Massachusetts was packed. As we sat down with Ani DeFranco to talk about her new coming-of-age memoir, No Walls and the Recurring Dream. The No Walls is the home she grew up in, all open spaces, open minds. Ani, the wildly inventive daughter of a Canadian mom and Italian immigrant dad. But things soon grew dark. We start there. The mother, who's a fierce feminist, starts realizing that at least then that meant she had to work and clean the house. She starts to lose herself. Father loses a job. Brother loses his mind. There are two suicide attempts, your father and your brother. How did that form Ani?
At that time, I felt determined to be happy, to love my life.
Yeah, but before that, you were making the meals at times. Your mother left. I'm wondering if that also fueled your anger, that sense of, wait a minute, you know, what was no walls and fun became no walls and not safe.
Well, yeah, I think that this anger that I was so known for or reduced to or thought of as being this angry chick, I really think that it was my mother's anger moving through me. And anger is not as precise as feminist outrage. But then her energy also was so vibrant. She gave me a lot of the tools that I used.
And it sounds like your dad helped with the tools as well. Copeland and John Fahey, both on the turntable.
Yeah.
And I know you don't like to be asked about what your musical influences were, because there's so many. But just talk about, what were your musical influences?
Robin, I've never been asked that before. This is amazing. Oh, man. Yeah, well, so my father loved music, and because he was an immigrant, he revered American artists. You know, it's my subconscious. I was playing Jazz Fest the other day, and somebody said, "You are so quintessentially American." And I was like, "Yeah, that's what I got made of."
Well, that's so interesting, because I can hear someone else thinking, really? Isn't she the one who shaved her head and she has this gender fluidity? I'm not quite sure, you know, where she is.
Yeah, that became what I was known for instantly. Late 80s, early 90s, you know, a lot of people were still in the closet. I got why they didn't want their whole lives to be reduced to one element, because that is exactly what happened when I wrote songs for women and men, and suddenly it's bisexual singer. Like, oh, okay, I've written songs about a lot of things. They don't say anti-capitalist singer or, you know, and that's to this day.
It's a part of who else you seem to be, which is, don't label me. Part of why you started the record company is that you wanted to be outside the music industry, and you didn't want it to be about making money. You wanted it to be about your art. But then the fact that you were making money was embraced by everybody as why you were outside the system.
Yeah, why I was special. Oh! Oh! That's another story that just was bigger than me. The writers in the media, they would literally ask me every day, so what do you think it is about you that makes you so successful? Yeah, it's like, I don't know, dude. I don't know. And if you want to bust out of that frame, you need strength. You need conviction.
Well, you sure do, especially, let's go back to your sexual fluidity. You were embraced by queer women everywhere. Then this embrace became like a stranglehold.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel that if you are not seeing yourself reflected in your culture and affirmed, and it's a human need. So I could feel that on a daily basis. And this role that I was playing, something that I was providing, which is, yes, you're not alone. So for somebody who is finding themselves affirmed for the first time ever, there is a clinging that comes with that. I mean,
and an ownership.
Yeah, pretty quickly I realized, wow, I can't satisfy that person's need for me to be exactly what they need, and that person, and that, you know, because it changes.
You write in the book about going to, is it the Womenkind Festival in Michigan? The beginning of your unease. Your friend had to take off her T-shirt because there was a picture of a male band on it.
Yeah, several of my feminist friends said, you have to take that whole section out of this book. No, I'm telling you, take it out. So forgive me, you know, forgive me if I offend. I went looking for feminist Nirvana, and I found myself miserable, and I was devastated, and I realized, right, the antidote to patriarchy is not matriarchy. That's another rabbit hole. The answer is resonant balance.
But I think you went to a queer awards ceremony, and I think you were booed there. You came out on stage in a dress, and what happened?
Sell out. Yeah, I seem to feel that a lot. People who are in a very tight spot want somebody else in there with them. It could be very punishing. My relationship with my listeners, you know, it's a long-term relationship. And we've been through a lot together. And the whole picture is I have been fed and affirmed and uplifted much more than constricted. The one thing that I was searching for through music was family, because my family sucked, you know? So I went out in the world and I looked for my family and I found them. And of course, family hurts.
And then you married someone with a penis. Is that Little Castles? Is that that paragraph in Little Castles? I've got it here. People talk about my image like I come in two dimensions, like lipstick is a sign of my declining mind.
Yeah, well, that was that time, boy.
And people talk about my image like I come in two dimensions, like lipstick is a sign of my declining mind.
And, yeah, I felt very claustrophobic.
What was it like to sing it?
Oh, geez. I mean, I guess heart racy and screamy and yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
New sport. Quick, someone call the girl police and file a report.
You are brave.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is just the chemistry of youth. And I do find it harder as I get older. I've had experiences more recently in life that have made me feel fear and self-doubt.
What experiences?
Yeah.
I think I know. 2015? Yeah.
In 2015, Ani was asked to host a songwriting workshop, which turned out to be in a former manor house of a slave plantation. The backlash from some fans was scathing.
I'm still trying to incorporate that, you know. I would see one of my tribe members, you know, somebody who looked like a feminist. I was so afraid, and it was seismic.
These tears, I'm so sorry.
Oh.
Has writing this But what has this...
Well, yeah, you know, I would say that writing this book has made me more grateful. You know, you sort of jot down your memories, and I think a lot of those had a negative. And when I sat down for 2 years and I really thought about it, I realized that's not the whole story.
And it's not written yet. Ani DiFranco. Ani DiFranco. She also talked about mentoring Anais Mitchell, who made Hadestown the record on Ani's label before it was a Broadway show. Many of her fans, after saying her music saved their lives, asked about her thoughts on parenting her now two children. Later today, we'll post the entire conversation. Right now, we have tons of videos and an excerpt from her memoir, No Walls and the Recurring Dream, at hearandnow.org. Get ready to sing into your hairbrush. Hearandnow.org.